Welcome to the PAL Podcast, the first podcast for parents and caregivers in the performing arts and the institutions who support them. We are Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts, PAL. Thanks for tuning in. So hello, I would like to welcome Lydia Millman-Schmidt. She is a theater director in Chicago and the founder of Parents in Chicago Theater. It was an organization launched in 2016 that now serves as the PAL Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts Hub in Chicago, Illinois, with Lydia as our PAL Chicago Chief Rep for Parent Artists. She's a huge advocate and has already conducted research into parent artists locally. Now we'll be teaming up with Lydia for some national research work on best practices in the near future. But first, I would like to say, Lydia Millman-Schmidt, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much.
Yes, I'm thrilled to have you as our first interview for our Parent Artist Podcast. So I would like to start off by asking you to tell me a bit about your own experience becoming a mother while working in the theater and how that was different than most mothers working in the United States.
Well, I actually wasn't in the United States when I became a mother for the first time. I was pregnant while I was finishing up my master's thesis in grad school in London, and I got my degree, my diploma in the mail and a baby within a couple weeks of each other. So, but while I was in school, I had also started freelancing and directing on the London Fringe. And so I had a colleague who wanted to ask me back to direct a musical, fantastic, and I remember I had left the baby at home, I had gone out to a press night, having a drink at the bar, at the theater, after a press night for a different show, and my colleague approached me and said, oh, I know what I want you to do next, there's this musical, I really think you would love it, and I said, I have this 4-month-old baby now, I can only do it if I can bring him along. And I knew they can't afford, I knew what they could afford to pay me, and they couldn't afford to pay for childcare. So we brought the baby along, and I schlepped him across London for a couple years doing that. And that first show we did together, I think we started rehearsals right after he turned 6 months old. And I had him in the sling while choreographing these, like, crazy military calisthenics numbers. And he would nap behind the piano. I mean, he's literally in a theater. But it created a wonderful atmosphere, actually, in the rehearsal room. Because how upset can you get about anything else when there's a cute little baby around? And we ended up doing 4 shows that way over, yeah. I think, the next 2 weeks. So... Yeah, that was my first experience, was sort of by necessity.
That's incredible. I love that. And now you don't just have one kiddo, you have 3, and the 2 that came after came at the same time. So talk to me a little. Sorry, say that again.
I was just going to say I'm very efficient.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The oldest, he used to nap behind the piano, is now 7.5. And then I also have 3-year-old twins.
Wow, incredible. They were born in Chicago. So tell me, what for you was the difference between that first theater experience with one and then the second experience, giving birth a second time, not only to multiples, but also in the United States? How did that contrast or compare?
Well, I think when you only have one, babies are so portable. Yeah. And all I needed, you know, even when he was a toddler, and he was 2, the last show we did there, he had just turned 2, and, you know, at that point, it's snacks, and he has to have toys, but still, it all fits in a little bag, and I can take him on the bus, and it's very easy. But with 3,
yeah.
So when I was pregnant with the twins, I had a very keen fear, I guess I'd call it, anxiety, that I was never going to work again. Hmm. So I tried to shoehorn in as many jobs as I could before they were born, including, I remember, checking a musical at something like 30 weeks pregnant with twins, which I do not recommend at all. And then likewise, the first year of their lives. I mean, I think I directed the first, I had a phone interview for a directing job when I was, a couple weeks before they were born. And I got the job that I'd unseen. They had no idea. And so, but that job wasn't for another year. So in the few months leading up to their first birthday, again, I had this sort of feeling like I had to prove something. And so I think I directed 4 plays within 5 months around the time that they turned 1, which I also do not recommend.
Yeah.
But that required a lot more planning, and it also required bringing in help. I mean, I think that was the big thing. When the first play I did, when they were about, 7 or 8 months old, I still had them in the building with me, but I hired a babysitter who would meet us at the building, and that meant I could go and nurse on breaks. It meant I wasn't seeing a babysitter for my commute time, which was substantial. And that made a big difference. And that my oldest was in school. That also helped.
Yes, definitely. I love the elements that you're talking about. I relate quite well to bring your baby as close as you can to the start time. That's what I do with auditions to cut back on the childcare costs. I think that that's a very real logistical balance, and also the fact that you were able to have a sitter in the space with your kids there is a huge asset. It sounds like, even though you were juggling quite a bit of work, tell me more.
In a strange way, I feel like it kept me more focused because I knew where they were. I knew that they were safe. I knew that if something happened, I told my babysitter, and she's still their babysitter. She's their favorite babysitter in the world. I said, you can interrupt rehearsal for anything. You do not have to feel like you're going to be in the way or you're going to interrupt. You have more than anyone else in this building free rein to come in and say, hey, you need to come do this because whatever has happened. And I don't think she ever had to do that, but I felt the need to empower her to do that.
I love that. I know that for PAL, the stance that we take is whatever situation helps you focus on your work and work-life balance the best. I know that I totally agree with you. When my kids are close in proximity, I focus better as well because I like that ability to check in whenever I need or to know that I have that flexibility. I also work with artists who prefer for it to be very distant and very separate worlds. But what I'm really hearing that I love most importantly is that as a director, you were able to make those decisions to empower and to say, this is how rehearsal works because we run our own rehearsals. I'm so fascinated by the leadership and the representation that mother directors specifically are able to give. And can you tell me a little bit more about the effect that that had on the rehearsal room itself when you did that?
That is difficult to say because for my whole professional life, since I was in graduate school, that's how it's been. Mm-hmm. And there, when I had my oldest in the room with me, there was very much an air of play. Hmm. The actors would try to make, they're trying to make him laugh, or they're playing with his trains, or, you take a break and you're making funny faces at a baby. It's a different feeling than if you're taking a break and you're going out and complaining or, checking your phone or whatever else. So the mere presence of them. But as far as, I do try to be visible as a mother director, which I personally think is important, because
sorry, I'm losing you. Could you say that sentence again? Because why?
Sorry, where do you want me to start?
You said the visibility was important, and you say because.
Yeah. I think that visibility is really important because I work with a lot of actors who are younger, up and coming, and I think that that representation will hopefully help them in the future to not shy away from if they want to have a family or if they want to, if they need some other accommodation. I mean, it doesn't even have to be about parenting. If you have a family member that you have to take care of, if you have a partner that you have to make accommodations for, to be okay with saying, you know what, I want to do this job, and in order to do this job, this is what I need.
That's brilliant. And
I think that helps everybody. And it's not just parents, but I think it's important.
Absolutely. I love that you're talking about visibility, and also this idea is something that I have believed for a long time, and we've made it one of the tenets of PAL as well, that healthy inclusion affects everyone positively. That
absolutely.
When you see, for example, you as a mother director saying, this is the most productive way to run the rehearsal room for the people in the room, then the people in the room not only feel seen, but they feel that they're valued, I think, in a different way. I know that that's how I feel when a director runs a room that way, and I participate as an actor. I also love that you have a fascination in also being a sort of mentor, even unasked, that you have an awareness of people coming after you. And I think that one of the most exciting things that's come up in our conversations has been this obligation to be visible. Last year, our theme was breaking the silence on motherhood, and that's where you and I met, was at that forum, and it's because we wanted to stop keeping it a secret, you know, to say this is the reality of it all, and make those paths possible. Another thing that you're doing to make paths possible, though, is you've also conducted surveys. You conducted your first survey in 2016, and I'd love to hear what inspired you to create that. This was for local Chicago parents, right?
Right. So I actually, when I was still in the UK, there's a fantastic program there called the Genesis Young Directors Program, which is run through the Young Vic Theatre, and it's directors from all over the country, and it's a very loose sort of network, but in that loose network, you can sort of find your group that you want to be a part of. So there was this relatively small group of parent directors, and I think that was the first place where I got the feeling, hey, I'm not the only one, and there are things that we can do, and there are things that we can do to help one another. It was a very supportive atmosphere. And so we started off by doing things like, they would sometimes have studio space or rehearsal space that was free to use. You just sort of had to say, we have an idea for a project, and they can give you 2 hours of rehearsal space on a Tuesday afternoon or whatever, and when it was all people with young children, that works great. So we would do things like trying to figure out, can we have the kids in rehearsal? Can we include them in rehearsal? What's it like if we split the space and have kids on one end with one of the adults and adults on the other end? You know, and we would actually try to have, like, sort of a mock rehearsal, which also served as a skill sharing. So we really got to know each other and each other's kids, and it was just a wonderful, supportive environment. And as part of that group, I was part of a survey that went out to directors nationwide in the UK. So when I came back to the States, I was really hungry for a similar group of like-minded artists who were parents and who wanted to make their parenthood a visible part of their artisthood. And so I tried to find those people. And, I mean, in the last few years, really have found a wonderful group of people. And, you know, every time a theater artist has a baby, we get a new member to our club, and it's a really wonderful thing.
Love it.
But as part of that, I wanted to be able to advocate for parents and for working conditions, because specifically in Chicago, there isn't a lot of union work. So a lot of actors especially are doing work that is either in the evenings and it's assumed that you have a day job and it's lower pay and it's non-union. So the working conditions are all over the board. And so when you're a theater artist in Chicago and you have a kid, I feel like it's especially difficult. And so what I wanted to do was get the information, say, who are these people who are parents who are working in theater? And what are the issues that they face? And what are the solutions that they can dream up? Okay. So we started off doing a panel similar to what's coming up. I don't want to get ahead of us. What we're going to talk about.
But, yes, right.
And so this survey went out to not just directors, but all theater artists in Chicago who are parents. And, you know, it was fascinating. And there are a lot of numbers, you know, that you can draw out of that. I think, you know, my sort of headline was that the biggest barriers to work for parents, which if you're a parent, you already know, is scheduling and the cost of childcare. And in the survey, 91% of the respondents had turned down work for one of those two reasons or both. Hmm. And that was really powerful because those are
91%.
Yeah, almost nearly everyone had turned down an offer of a job because either the schedule didn't work with their childcare situation or the cost of childcare was too high. And, you know, those are things that don't have to be barriers, I think. I think that we can, you know, we are a creative industry. We can come up with creative ways to schedule our work so that it's more child-friendly or more parent-friendly. And there's certainly creative ways to help actors and theater artists with the cost of childcare. So that, you know, that's my big headline from that. But more than the numbers, which are interesting, I get emotional every time I read the answers to the questions about what do you wish? What would be an ideal world? And, you know, it's not just a job when you work in theater. It's a passion and it's a vocation. And to read what parents say about why they just really need to do the work that they want to do is really inspiring.
Absolutely. I'm doing a lot of work. I love you're talking about passion and vocation right now. We're currently connected with Actors Equity and doing a lot of work with them on with a parents committee and talking with Fair Wage on Stage. And there's this idea about, you know, well, you chose this lifestyle. You chose to be a parent. You chose to be an artist, which is really a cop-out, right? Saying like, well, if you didn't like the work, don't do it. And it's saying, no, as artists, we do feel called to make this work for the most part. That's why we do tolerate quite demanding schedules with often lower pay, et cetera, et cetera. But I think what most people have deep down in their soul is that they are willing to bend over backwards, even parents. They're saying, we're willing to make the sacrifices to make it work. But how many of these sacrifices are arbitrary? And how many of them can be solved through creative problem solving? I love you mentioning the Genesis Project because that sort of experimentation to me is inherently theatrical. The idea that there is an absolute scientific method to the way the rehearsal should be run doesn't belong in an artistic space. We can be productive and we can be practical, but we don't have to be prescriptive. And so this idea is resonant in every city. I love that you have a survey that identifies it in Chicago. And I want to mention again that Parent Artist Advocacy League and Parents in Chicago Theater, we're going to be working on research projects nationally as well, because this sounds like what has been echoed in every single city that we've held a forum in so far. I mean, a couple of other details that came out of that first survey was that 20% of respondents responded that their work had gone unchanged, a bit like the kind of work that they did, but that's without gender distinguishers, which I also found was interesting. I would be very fascinated to find out how the work goes unchanged with gender as an element, because we were talking about how childcare specifically affects women in our society. It's just how it comes out, and the women in your survey did identify childcare as a top inhibitor, the childcare costs and scheduling, which is really fascinating for me. There are not only the research projects that we're doing together, but PAL, you know, as we're going to be talking about this weekend, we won't get ahead of ourselves. Lydia is going to be telling Chicago parents all about this on Saturday, July 14th. But PAL is offering our first childcare grants. This year and next year have been promised, and if you want to learn more details about that, you can attend one of our forums to start off with. But in addition to that, Lydia, you're also helping change the audition and work culture, specifically in terms of the spaces that children are allowed in. You're directing a show for Erasing the Distance Theater Company in Chicago coming up, and your recommendation to them came through PAL because of your skills as a director, as well as your familiarity with the obstacles of a woman's reproductive path in our world today. And we'll share more about what that show is at the end of this segment. But one of the solutions you offered, which I love, it's a huge PAL fan favorite, and we've discussed this before, was how you held your auditions and you publicly posted, and I'm reading directly from your social media post, saying, asking for casting. This was a casting notice. I mean, imagine if all casting notices include this. You said, I'm excited to share that I'm directing a piece for Erasing the Distance about women's reproduction and mental health this September, and I'm looking for mothers, capital mothers, to audition. There is pay. And then we'll share more details about the show, but you ended with asterisk, 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 and if you come and audition for me, know that capital, you can bring your baby, period. Still capital. I will hold that baby, period. And that's how the post ended. I was cheering in my seat in my kitchen. I was so excited. And I just want to know what that audition experience was like for you and the results, the openness of that casting. That's just so astonishingly beautiful and I think quite revolutionary. What was that room like?
Well, first of all, I have to say that the staff at Erasing the Distance are so fantastic, and I told them initially, I said, I think we need to cast some mothers, and I have this network now, I know where I can find mothers who are actors, who are hungry for this kind of work, let me reach out to my networks. Mm. And so, you know, it starts with the producer saying yes. So that's always a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. The supportive structures. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. This day of auditions was the most magical audition experience of my life. And I mean, for directors, auditions are stressful and exhausting and sometimes really terrible. But almost everyone who walked into the audition were mothers, and there were women who weren't mothers who also shared in the magic of the day. I think because partly the subject matter, which is all about women's reproduction from puberty to menopause and how it affects mental health, everybody can relate to some aspect of that. And whether it was because there were a lot of mothers walking through the door. Mm. I had two people audition who had babies under 2 months old. I had one who was coming to her first audition since her second kid was born, which I think is several years. Wow. I had my kids were there. My kids for the first half of the audition day were there behind a partition, which worked for a period of time, and then they got a little restless, and then I got relieved of childcare duties for the rest of the evening, and then it was quiet. But there was one actress who did, the one who took me up on the offer to hold that baby, but she came in with a three-year-old. So I also have two three-year-olds, and I said, hi, I have some friends who are over here playing with Play-Doh. Want and play Play-Doh with them. And I introduced them to my kids, and they welcomed this, you know, strange child that they didn't know into their Play-Doh play.
Wow.
And we, you know, sort of said, we're just going to be right here. And it's just sort of a soft partition wall so they could hear us. We had the audition, and it was wonderful. And the kids played quietly, and there was no problem. And I don't know what that actress had to go through to get to the room, but I'm so glad that she did.
Yes.
And I know it's hard to take a three-year-old anywhere and also be thinking about the sides that you have to learn, and you have to look presentable, and we have to get to this place, and do I use the stairs, or do the elevator, how do I get there, do I bring a stroller? All of those things that go into taking a three-year-old anywhere, combined with all the things that go into auditioning, I'm so thankful that the actresses were willing to do it. And it was a wonderful experience.
That's incredible. That thrills me to the core, because we're the panel that I was working on with Equity just this week is on the gender disparity of performers on stage, and the motherhood obstacle came up, where not only is ageism an element, where you have the young thing and you have the old grandma or maybe a mother, but that the motherhood element of the actors and actresses themselves who are coming into these audition rooms, it is incredibly difficult just to get there and just to make it. Once you get the job, hopefully there's a paycheck and some support structure in place, but to take the chance on those sides, what you've created is a support structure that has an access pathway. It is definitively inclusive. It's opening doors, you know, for someone whose hands are probably a little too full to open it themselves, and I think that's incredible. Yeah. So this is all case in point of what our theme with PAL is this year, which is initiatives and solutions. You taking that initiative and you providing that solution for parents is a prime example of what we want to focus our entire year on. A huge reason why Lydia is our chief rep in Chicago for PAL is because not only has she done the research to really investigate and find who these parents are, but because she's also doing the work in the room itself to change the game. And one of our commitments that we ask all of our PAL reps to do around the country is to commit to hosting a forum a year, because PAL's three tenets are organize, network, and create. And that organization is about everyone meeting physically in a space to see each other, to talk to each other, to gather, to feel the isolation drift away and the community grow where you are. And then the networking happens naturally after that. Like Lydia said, she has built a network of mothers that she can now reach out to. And then the third element, create, she's now creating with them. So Lydia, you're hosting the PAL Forum in Chicago Saturday, July 14th, 2018. On our focus, initiatives and solutions. And now if anyone's hearing this podcast after that date, if you like our Facebook page for Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts, we'll be posting more events coming up this year that Lydia will be running in Chicago. So have no fear. There will be meetups for you to go to. But for the panel at the forum this Saturday, Lydia, can you tell me a bit more about the panelists you've invited and what their focus is?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the panelists. We have the executive director of Rivendell Theater Ensemble, which is an all-women-run theater company in Chicago, Jackie Banks Mollum, who is going to talk about the family-friendly practices that they have built and cultivated over the years. So that's very exciting. I have an actress, Cruz Gonzalez-Cadell, who has just won a Jeff Award and happens to be a mom and is very passionate about what we said about visibility and not hiding your kid away, making them an asset rather than a liability. We have Chris Freeberg, who is the stage manager at Steppenwolf, who can talk about things from all sides. I'm excited to hear from a stage manager because I think they get a little bit of everybody's experience. So that's really exciting. And lastly, Melissa Albertario-Peck, who is a director, but also a financial advisor. And she has an organization called Smartistry, and their tagline is empowering artists to live sustainably through education, advocacy, and networking. Mm. And it's all about financial literacy for artists. Mm. And I can't think of anything more important for parents to have resources for than making sure that they are smart with their finances. I think especially, I know a lot of people who are in two artist households, basically, and I think that's incredibly difficult and challenging, and I think that Melissa will have a lot of very interesting initiatives and solutions to offer to the panel on Saturday.
Absolutely. And so that her organization, it's like Smart Artistry. It's Smartistry, right?
Smartistry. Such a good name.
Yeah, it's such a good name. I am going to be listening to the recording of this forum. I wish I could be there in person. I'm so upset. But if parents come, what do they do with their kids?
We have kids in the room. It's a kid-friendly event. We are going to have some helpers so that, especially if you have slightly older kids, you can be sure that they will be entertained quietly. If you have a baby and that baby needs to eat or be bounced around or whatever babies need to do, that is fine. Nobody on the panel is going to bat an eyelash at that. If your kid makes noise, we love it because we're all parents and we will hold that baby. I will hold your baby if you come to the panel and you need me to hold your baby.
I love it. I love it. And that's a big part about representation too, right? Is that the, I get asked the question a lot. It's like, well, how do we know what parents need and how to hire more parent artists? And what I've actually answered to people before when I'm doing my advocacy and often one-on-one ambassador work is I say, well, you know, if you want to know what parent artists need to hire more parent artists, you need to hire more parent artists. Because quite honestly, they know how to work in the space with some of these challenges and things like that. So for all PAL forums across the country, so everyone knows, they are either kid-friendly events where your child is welcome or there is childcare provided. And this is a kid-friendly event. So just know that whenever you attend one of our events, just find out what those details are because we've engaged with that question. Now you, Lydia, have a new survey that you've currently gathered data for that you're going to be speaking about at the panel yourself. What did you hope to find beyond what your first survey showed you or what are some highlights that you wanted to mention?
Well, after the first survey, I realized that there was still a missing piece of the puzzle, and that was the people who had dropped out after having kids. In the first survey, I was focused on people who are currently working and how we can make sure that they're taken care of. But I also really needed to hear the experiences of people, especially women. For the second survey, all but one respondent were identified as women, and find out why they took a break, what they're doing now. Have they left the industry? Are they staying at home with the kids and want to return? Mm. Are they doing something different? What led to those decisions? Are they happy with the decision and the career trajectory that they now have? Or have they taken an extended break and come back to the theater industry? And what's that experience been like? What have those challenges been? So that has been incredibly fascinating to read people's responses and stories. And, you know, it's tricky from a data perspective because I feel like every story is individual. But there are some trends, which I will share more about on Saturday. But I just want to share a little bit. One of the questions I asked is, how has becoming a parent made you a better artist, employee, or collaborator? What could you bring to the table that you couldn't before you became a parent? And I genuinely tear up every time I look through this list of answers. And there are things like being a parent opens up a whole new level of emotional depth in an artist. I have so much more to give. I'm more patient. I have more empathy. I have the ability to work in very little sleep. These are the things that I feel I want to shout from the rooftops. Like, yes, hire a parent. They will be the best employee you have. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I'm excited to share more about what I've learned and also use that to continue to work towards best practices for hiring parent artists, keeping parents in the workforce.
So brilliant. Lydia, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time after both our kids' bedtimes to do this interview. And for the work that you're doing to research what parent artist needs are, I look forward to more national research with you. So everyone needs to stay tuned with that. And all the resources that we've mentioned, I'll be including on the website to be listed with this interview so that you can all click and read along as we're talking about them. And if you're in Chicago, connect with Parent Artists Advocacy League and Parents in Chicago Theater. We are a collaboration that is located there, and we are here for you, and we are here to be the bridge between you and the institution so that we can make more work possible. So we hope you have a good one, and Lydia, thank you again.
Thank you so much, Rachel. This is amazing.
Yeah. If you would like to check out Lydia's show in Chicago, check out Erasing the Distance, who presents the Women's Reproduction Project, produced as part of DocFest, September 6th through 16th, 2018, at the Straw Dog Theater Company space. The Women's Reproduction Project covers From Puberty to Menopause. This piece sets out to explore the way the female reproductive system affects mental health, exploring fertility and infertility, illness, motherhood, and more. These stories provide insight and compassion into the female experience. Directed by Lydia Millman Schmidt, devised by the Erasing the Distance ensemble members Katie Relkin and Mara Kidwell, and produced by Erasing the Distance artistic director Heather Bodie. The important dates you need to know is that it goes up September 6th through 16th, 2018. Check it out. To learn more, go to erasingthedistance.org. Thanks for joining us. We are Parent Artist Advocacy League for the Performing Arts, PAL. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and on our website at PAALtheatre.com. Let's organize, network, and create.